Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yontz, and I am here with my co-host,
City Scent. What's up?
Nothing much. And we are here to change your view on professional wrestling. And we are the King's Road Podcast. And what do we have in store this week? Well, let me tell you, we are talking Stone Cold in 1997, specifically January. Up to the Royal Rumble and some of the Royal Rumble. So here we go. Austin, 1997. What do you think?
Well, this is really the beginning of seeing Austin of basically ascend from, at this point, I'd say he was in that very end of 96, he was teetering from, I'd say upper mid card, you know, because you kind of felt that after the match with Brett, you see him tumble down a little bit, but as the Rumble was nearing, you could kind of see that they were putting him back in. You could even see in like the presentation of new shows like Shotgun Saturday Night. Yeah, you can't watch the opening of that show and not think, huh, why does this look so much different than everything else they're programming? Kind of like when they would do an Austin vignette, it would look completely different than everything else you'd see on the TV.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, their big idea to combat WCW was Shotgun Saturday Night, doing matches in nightclubs.
It's an interesting concept, but it's only interesting if you follow through and keep at it. They pretty much gave up on the show after like a couple weeks.
Wow, the story of Vince McMahon. Let's give up.
Let's go really hard the first couple weeks and then give up by the end of the week. By the end of the month.
It's really amazing. Like, even in 97, this man really hasn't changed that much.
No,
he really hasn't.
Look, I truly believe he lucked into the Attitude Era. Like, I think he lucked into it.
I think that's correct. He really did luck into it. I don't think he wanted to do it. I think he was forced into it. And it was either do that or fail. But I don't know, Shotgun Saturday Night. I mean, watching Vince flirt with Sonny.
Something weird. I always found it weird when he had all those angles.
You see, Vince, he's dropped the jacket. He's just got the dress shirt on. He's ready. You know, he's probably going up to fans going, "You're not in shape."
You trying to smoke a cigarette in front of me?
How dare you?
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
This is a nightclub. This is how we do it here. I don't know. I think it's a neat concept, but you're right. Like, they gave up they did like five nightclubs, and then they're like, well, this is too hard. Let's just go back to what we always do, jobber matches.
Like, I feel there's something
recaps
to wrestling in unorthodox locations. I think WCW did very good with that. It always looked cool. I kind of wish WWE would have done something. You would have figured WWE in the last 20 years would have said, you know, we should really do that.
You know who's against that? It's Kevin Dunn. He doesn't like that. He likes exactly what they do. He doesn't want anything.
Kevin Dunn looks like a little rat with his two front teeth. He looks like a fucking rat. He looks like Rat Attack Pokemon.
You know, what does he say to Jim Cornette? Who's that Pokemon? It's
Rat Attack. Kevin Dunn.
Jim, I find that, you know, our audience doesn't know what they're doing. Oh man, he is the downfall of that company in so many ways.
I was also looking at the match records for Austin's house shows around this time period. He was doing a lot of matches, either in the semi-main event or in the main event. Either he was actually beating Sean. He was beating Sean in the house show.
I find so hard that Sean would even allow that. This is the guy who doesn't want to lose to anybody.
And not only that, like, you're losing to him right before you're going to win the title back at the Royal Rumble. Like, I mean, like, it's hard for me to, like, grasp this.
I can't. Like, did he win by DQ or?
I didn't see DQ as a finish.
I mean, I cannot see Shawn Michaels in 97 laying down for all. You saw how he is. We're jumping ahead, but you see how he is in 97, you know, late 97. You know, he's like, he didn't want to put over Austin at all. They had to come up with some, you know.
But he did. But also, you know what I think it was? I think it was a sacrifice. You know, I think Triple H does these kind of maneuvers as well, where he was like, what is better? Do I job to Stone Cold now? Or do I job to Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid, in the main event of those programs?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because you look at the house shows and, you know, he also started, you know, feuding with Goldust in Austin. Goldust and Austin kind of had a little
yeah, feud. I almost feel like maybe that was the intended match for WrestleMania 13 before they switched everything.
That probably was. Oh, my God, that would have sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Lame. I mean, it would have been a nice worked match, but Goldust wasn't having... It wasn't going to be WrestleMania 13. That would just be... I don't know. I mean, I still think... I think Brett still does something to make Austin look good because he wanted to do that. But I don't know. 13 just gave him the best springboard off. But it shows in 97 what they really think of Austin. He's just a guy. You know? And then now let's talk a little bit about one thing that's really interesting because I was watching this is I was looking for Austin 316 shirts and amazing in January 13th, 1997's Raw, you can actually see an Austin 316 shirt, which makes me think that they had announced it. Like you could order the shirt probably in the catalog, like probably in WWF magazine, they had the ability to buy the shirt, but they weren't really releasing it to the public. I mean, it's kind of it, but you can kind of like see those shirts. What do you think about that?
We've spoken about this topic several times before, but before we actually thought that the first incident was in February. You know, and then we started to really look at all the crowds in early 97 and found that January 13th is the first time we see somebody wearing the shirt. This isn't the first time we see Stone Cold wearing the shirt, which no, honestly, if you think about it, Austin was, obviously Hogan as well, and Roddy Piper, were, like the wrestlers wearing their shirts, was actually not that common of a trope in this era for WWF. You know, like they weren't having guys like Shawn or Bret wearing their shirts.
I think one of the I think one of the reasons he didn't wear the shirt was
they sucked.
Well, because he was a heel, and I think he wanted. Or do you think they just didn't think about it?
I think initially they just didn't think about it because if you really think about it, most of the shirts that were made in that time period were stupid looking shirts. Mainly full print shirts in that new generation's era. Not the kind of shirts you want a superstar wearing. If you look at Austin's shirt, it kind of goes with that, the kind of gimmick with Hogan. You know, it's a shirt with a catchphrase on it. Same for Roddy Piper. That's the kind of shirt that a wrestler should be wearing. You don't want to see a wrestler wearing his own face on a shirt.
No.
You know, it doesn't look good, like the new Roman shirt. Like, I think the image looks cool. I like the image.
But I think it's not good for a shirt.
No, it should be a part of a Titantron or
yeah, like I would like a logo.
You have a Roman Reigns website, you have that as like the front of the website.
Give me like, it looks like a magazine cover.
Yeah, that's not a shirt. No.
The shirt should be just the logo, Bloodline, or something like that.
I mean, the shirt should have just said "We the Ones" and that's it.
Yeah, that there you go. It's another. This is the problem with WWE. They always have to overcomplicate things. So there's got to be this and then that, and then just I don't know. It's kind of frustrating. All right, so let's talk a little bit about. He changed the vest, and then he kind of goes back to that vest with that logo that I hate that Austin logo that they gave him in early 97.
Yeah,
it looks stupid.
I don't know if it's that he kept forgetting the vest. Like, I don't know what was going on here, why they have to change.
It was probably Kevin Dunn. He was going, well, you know, I really want you to wear this vest.
But it doesn't even look good. Like, it doesn't look better than the other vest. Like, it doesn't look better. So,
maybe Vince was like, you're getting too many cheers with the vest. Let's change the vest.
I don't know what the hell's going on with him having to change vests here and there, but yeah. I don't get it because it literally looks like a D grade.
It does. Like, it looks like when you're playing like a CAW in a WWE 2K game where you just put it, or like back in the Here Comes the Pain day where you just put a logo on the back of the shirt or something. It looks like a copy and pasted thing. It doesn't look. I don't know, it looks fake to me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. You know, like, I kind of like the idea of, you know, having the vest that we all know him by and just wear that. I don't like the switching, like CM Punk. He changes his attire one day and then there's another day. Stick with what. You know what I like about Austin? Black tights, black boots, doesn't change. That's it.
You don't like the gold.
That's it. Don't overcomplicate it. I am proof that you don't need a guy to be overly complicated for you to like him. Austin was the most simplistic character maybe of all
you
time.
Heard that story about what Bischoff said, because DDP kept coming in and putting on all these crappy gimmicks, and he said, take all that off. You're just going out there that you look like an idiot. And I'm glad he did, because once he did do that, he came off like a, you know... You saw the DDP character instead of like, he's wearing all these shiny vests and stuff. And it's just like, no. Simplicity sometimes works.
It does.
You know,
like, I mean, look at case in point. What program and AEW is the most intriguing right now? I would say it's MJF and Punk. And they haven't said a word.
And then Bryan Danielson is a heel.
They haven't said a word though.
Yeah. No.
Punk hasn't said shit.
Yeah, it's great.
Simplicity is key. Yeah. You know, look at Becky and Charlotte. In fact, most people are more interested in what they're saying outside of TV than what they're saying on TV.
And they also didn't point to a sign.
Simplicity is key.
That's what WWE would do. They would have them come out, not say anything. That would be really cool. And then they would point to a stupid sign.
Like, you know what pisses me off when you get somebody says like, okay, oh, I like WWE because of the storylines. What storyline? Well, you know, when this guy does this, and I'm like, that's not a storyline. Okay, look, bro, if I want to fight you, guess what? I don't need a fucking storyline to want to fight you. You bump me, you piss me off.
That's what Eddie Kingston
does. You got something that I want, and that's it. Like, it's not complicated. Like, why do we try to make it overly complicated? Like, wrestling is not supposed to be complicated.
Because Kevin Dunn and Vince want to be more than wrestling. They don't think they're wrestling. Same thing with Michael Cole. He just did an interview saying that, you know, I don't see myself as a wrestling announcer. I see myself as a
fraud. Then what the fuck are you? Then what? No, you're a wrestling announcer.
That's what they see himself as, a broadcaster.
Okay, you want to? Okay, look, you're a wrestling broadcaster. The point is, you're broadcasting wrestling.
You made wrestling a dirty word, Vince. A dirty word.
It's just, to me, it's
he
just
really has made it into a dirty word in his stupid company. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, that's what I liked about that Eddie Kingston, you know, backstage stuff. Yeah. It just comes off like a regular fight. Like you're going to
You find me the biggest feuds in the history of wrestling. Every single one. Every single one. It doesn't matter. You can pick any. And they can all be explained with one sentence. You can explain every major feud in wrestling history with one sentence. It's not that complicated. Okay? Like Austin and Vince. Very simple.
Boss.
He's a star.
Versus worker.
He's a boss. He's been screwed by all his bosses. He don't like bosses. It's not that complicated.
Yep.
One is an alpha male. The other guy's an alpha male. That's it. You don't need more than that.
Exactly.
When you have two alpha male, it takes care of itself.
Yeah.
People will feel read between the lines. We're not idiots.
So, all right. So now we talked about that. Let's talk a little bit about
shit. Look at this. Austin, even Undertaker and Kane. Undertaker killed the parents or something, or was it Kane? Like burnt. Like, it's not even complicated.
He set the fire to the house, and Kane survived somehow. And then he comes back for revenge.
Revenge tale.
That's
revenge.
It. You don't That's need it. Him to be the father or any of that crap. Just no. Two brothers.
Yeah.
I thought you were dead.
Revenge.
I thought you were dead. You're not. And now I want revenge.
That's it. Like it shouldn't be this complicated.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, man. It is. They always have to make it Now talk a little bit about you said that Austin starts doing the taunt where he shakes his head and curses.
Yeah.
When did he start doing that? I didn't see that. I didn't. Is that a shotgun?
I think it was on a Raw.
Or is it on Superstars?
It could have been on Superstars.
I think it could be on Superstars because if it was on Raw, I would have seen it.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw it. I don't know when exactly, but it was between January 13th and probably Shotgun Saturday Night when Terry Funk was on it. It's between that time period.
And then Austin talking over Terry Funk.
Yeah, I
calling Funk calls Todd Pettengill a whore.
Your mother's
there's
a
something
whore.
About Todd Pettengill that just comes off so fake to me. I mean, there's things I like about him, but he's like the prototype Michael Cole. And you know who's you know who his
he's
roommate
way
was?
Worse than Michael Cole.
You know
he's way worse
was?
Than Michael Cole.
His roommate was Michael Cole.
Oh my
he's
god.
He's the reason we have Michael Cole.
He sucks. Like I can't. Like I was watching him in the Slammies. Oh, I can't.
Have you
him.
Seen the one where he does the narration for some of the feuds? And he's like,
"Yeah,
you stop back. You come forward, and you're upset. But now this guy hates you. I'm like, stop it, stop that, stop talking. Just let the clip do the work." Don't have this nerd talking in the background. You talk about the fight, and you know you've got to do it. WWE.
Take the F out.
Take the F out. I don't know. He came off so cartoonish to me, like just this nerd.
Yeah, but the segment between
I pissed
Terry
off
Funk.
A lot of Todd Pettengill fans because he has his fans, believe it. But I don't know, he comes off like a nerd to me.
That's because people are fans of nostalgia and
really
they think of Todd
Pettengill, your mother's
as...
a whore.
That shit was hilarious.
I'm sure Vince was probably like, okay, no, you can't say whore. And it was in Texas, and yeah, I love that they had Austin and Terry Funk, you know, have a thing there. Probably Kevin Dunn was like, nobody knows who Terry Funk is. He's, you know, Why would we do that? Just have Austin be, you know, but Austin knows who Terry Funk is, and Texas knows who Terry Funk is.
Everybody knows who Terry Funk is. I don't want to hear that.
Except for Kevin Dunn.
Like, I don't want to hear that. That's stupid. Who doesn't? Who, like, do you really think nobody knows who Terry Funk is? It's like that stupid Chainsaw Charlie shit. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So stupid. All right, let's talk. Let's get to the Rumble. Is there really there the build up to this?
Well, they were this like is a part of it. The this is play off the Rumble. This is teasing the Rumble because Terry Funk was supposedly supposed to be in it or something.
And he like, was.
That's the whole point of the face off between Terry Funk and Austin. Where he just starts.
But my point is, like, a lot of the Raws didn't. I thought they did more job to build up Sean and Sid than they really did with the Rumble. Well, Rumble kind of felt thrown away to me in this year.
Which is weird considering you had The Undertaker in it, which he actually isn't in that many Rumbles.
No. It's also interesting. Did you, what was it? The Live Wire where Vince Russo says, they asked Vince Russo as, you know, Vic Venom character. They said, you know, who do you think's going to win the Rumble? And he says, Brett's going to win the Rumble. And Vince was pissed because Brett was supposed to win the Rumble. He didn't want him to say that. So that's one of the reasons why they changed it to Austin. Because they didn't want anyone to know that Brett was going to win the Rumble. Which is good. It gave Austin something cool to do.
Do you think the ingenious Vince Russo knew that was going to happen?
I'm sure he did. That's Vince Russo.
Another reason why Vince Russo saved professional wrestling. Because if it wasn't for Vince Russo,
you say professional and killed it.
Stone Cold wouldn't have won that Rumble. Who knows what could have happened?
If Vince Russo stayed in WWE and didn't like leave, okay, yeah, I'll give him all the savior in the world. But he left and helped kill.
That's another way of saving, isn't it, Justin? You go to the other company and kill them. It saves the other company. He helped WWF and he killed WCW. Yeah. I mean, that's a double-sided sword.
He helped us not have any competition for 20 years.
There you go. Exactly, because then he joined TNA and killed them.
What do you think of this?
Man,
we have to bring in the obligatory TNA reference somewhere.
If
the
Tony
TNA
Khan
reference must be brought
himself.
In. All right, let's get to the Rumble. We're getting a little long here. Let's talk about the Rumble.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, this felt like the 98 Rumble as well, where it's just boring until I don't know.
I found the 98 Rumble way better than this one. For one,
this 97 Rumble was boring to me. I found it boring.
I don't think it's fair to compare this one to the 98. I thought the 98 was better.
Well, once Austin comes in, it's good.
Well, I think everything about that Rumble was better, including the lead up to it.
Well, I like that they gave The Rock. We're going to talk about this. So, Brad,
you're the one mentioning it.
I know, because I was just going to mention it to the side. I didn't know we were gonna discuss.
I don't think.
All right, so let's
like
talk
this.
About. I just thought this was. Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, they were kind of. They bring in all this Mexican talent from, you know, from AAA, and they don't really get a response.
Look, here's what we need to understand about the show in San Antonio. It's the most heavily papered event, I believe, in WWF history. Papering means that they basically gave half the tickets for free. Okay, you know that shit they used to criticize WCW for always doing? They were doing it. Okay, so even though that's like the biggest Rumble number or whatever the fuck, it's fake because half the people there went for free. That's another thing. So we understand that going in, that the fans there aren't fans that really care enough to pay. So, and they clearly didn't know any of the AAA talent outside of maybe Mil Máscara. And that was stupid because he didn't want to get eliminated by anyone. So he eliminated himself, which was idiotic. Yeah.
All right. Well, so we're going to get to Austin next. All right, so Austin, 1997 Rumble. He comes out, and you know,
number
even
three.
His walk feels like he knows he's a star.
He also comes in at number three, right?
Yeah, same number as Ric Flair.
Yeah, he ends up being in the match for 45 minutes, which means that at least at this point, they at least trust him to be a good hand. At the very least, I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. I mean,
I know, but it's just so funny.
You got to remember that he came into like Rumble 96, you know, and he was also there for like a while, like I think at least 29 minutes or whatever.
But he took over.
This Rumble showcased him way above Bret.
Yeah, you know, it did.
You saw a lot of personality. And this is another thing about his entrance. Like, don't you feel between 96 and 97 in particular, when he comes out, it's like he is making love to the camera.
Like, yeah, it is.
I don't know how else to say it. Like, when he looks at the camera, it's like he's having a conversation with the crowd. Like, I see, like, Brock does this sometimes. Punk used to do this sometimes. You know, very, very few wrestlers ever do this. You know, like even The Rock never really did that kind of stuff. Like, it's kind of like
you know who also did this? Goldberg. When he would go up for the spear or when he would go for the jackhammer, he would look at the hard camera right there in there. And I was like, little things like that, Goldberg doesn't get enough credit for doing like things like this. It's like, that's what made him
grabs the audience.
Yeah,
it grabs the audience. Oh,
plus he did a backflip. And he did a backflip in a match too. Like, people forget what an amazing athlete Goldberg was, that he could do a backflip. I was like,
my God, he carried the Big Show over his shoulder. You know, like, I remember the first time I saw him do the jackhammer to the Giant.
That was when he was the Fat Show.
I was like, oh my God, this guy is so strong.
Yeah.
You know, like, but
bringing
neck
it back
was,
to it, it was that looking at the, it was looking at that camera, and you just bring it up. Austin does it at 96
all the time.
When he comes into Survivor Series, he's looking at it, jumping ahead. He does it even at Mania 13 when he's walking. He's like, you better get out of the way. You know, I'm coming down there. You know,
in fact, my two favorite times that he's done it. When that I think of is Survivor Series 96, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, cause it felt like for like a minute and a half, he's looking straight at the camera the entire time. Like, not
except
saying
they still
anything.
Have that stupid,
I love it. I love
they
it.
They still have the stupid smoke. At Survivor Series, I was like looking at it, like, why is you brought that up last time? It's like, yeah, he still has.
And
that
when
stupid
a fan
smoke.
Would touch him, and he would then stare a hole in him, like. This is the difference between Austin and Seth Rollins. Austin would just have to look at that fan and he would have stopped.
Yeah.
He would have stopped. He's like, oh, wait, nah. Let me wait till Seth Rollins comes out.
Yeah.
Like, it's about the eyes, man. It's about the eyes. Like, and Brock does it a lot in this era. Like, there's a couple times I've seen Brock do it. To me, that's the real sign of a star.
Well, he doesn't get a lot of credit, you know, when he does, you know, when he would do the promos with Paul Heyman there. I mean, he's still using his eyes. He might not be saying words, but he's speaking in a language of physicality. His body language says, don't mess with me. I'm the prize.
Brock has always been a star, right?
Yes, but like
he was a star in 02. He was a star in 03. And he was a star when he came back. He does better though when he has a manager. It's not
he knows how to position himself.
He can talk if he's like of a certain level. Like now he's worked himself to a level where he could cut babyface promos and it'll be fine. But if you remember like 2011, it was a struggle because a lot of fans at that time forgot that Brock was even a wrestler at that point.
Oh, you mean when he first came back and they was doing.
He was kind of struggling there.
And then he came back and he said, you better hire payment.
But the reason he struggles is because you're trying to make him cut 12-minute promos. Brock is better when he lets his face do the talking and maybe say a couple words here and there and that's it.
Yeah. And the never have a should promo be smart enough to realize that.
Yeah, no, don't have it longer than 3 minutes. And if you do, you do need a Heyman because he specializes. Right, so
let's get back to the Rumble. What else you want to talk about with this Rumble? I mean, it's basically Austin's Rumble. It's Austin's ass now.
To go off of this. For one, he lasted for over 45 minutes. Second place was Brett with 21 minutes. Austin, basically the whole gimmick of the Rumble is he's just eliminating people over and over again. You see him doing push-ups. You see him doing little gimmicks. Yeah. You know, he's like sitting
and
there.
And this is where we got the thing with the watch.
Yeah. Yeah, the famous gif where he's just like, who's next to eliminate? He's just throwing everybody over until
The only caveat I would give Austin, though, on is when the music hits and he... when Brett's music hits and he's got that oh no face on there, I'm like, it looks fake. I'm like, this, he's not scared.
I agree,
like, they don't have to be scared
with the sentiment behind that, but I don't have a problem with it because it looked good, it's famous, and honestly, those are the kind of things as a heel you're supposed to do. He's done little things like that in regards to Brett. Even little things like when Brett is calling him out, he don't come out. But then when he gets his ass knocked down, then he comes in, runs, jumps on him, hits him, and leaves. Yeah. Super heel.
Or like he would do with, you know, right before Survivor Series, like, you'd like me to go in there, wouldn't you? You'd like me to go in there.
Well, exactly.
Hey, to see Stone Cold do, you know, like, yeah.
I think he should have done something more like sell it, but don't do the whole like, oh no. And because a part of me wants to think that maybe he became was doing Taylor it sarcastically. Like, it's not like it couldn't have been sarcastic because he did some of that, you know, like when he was doing the split screen and he's like, you know, like.
Bite some.
But it didn't feel like it was being sarcastic. But it wasn't like authentic. He was towering.
It felt authentic. My problem is that's the only moment looking back at it, I'm just like, that he shouldn't have done that.
I agree.
I mean, he should have been like, because. He had to have known by, do you think he, they say that he didn't know he was turning face till the day of WrestleMania 13, which I'm just like, really?
They kept him
in the dark that long.
That's stupid. Have you met that company?
I know, but it's a dumb move in my opinion.
Have you really met that company?
Yes. I know why they do that. Yeah. Well, they told Jericho he's winning the title the day of.
Frost McFreeze.
Yeah. Hey. We got a new name for you, Frost McFreeze. They ain't doing that.
But you know, Frost one thing I liked about Austin, he like there's like two segments to the match. There's the first segment where it's basically Austin against jobbers, and then the second segment where it's basically him against Brett for most of the second half of the Rumble, and you know everybody else kind of against each other. I love the selling Austin had with the exhaustion, by the 25, 27 minute mark, like you could see him like grasping all the time, which I feel is lost in a lot of Rumbles now.
Well,
like
they might sell it. That's one of the things that Austin had that I don't think he gets enough credit for is the psychology that he had that nobody else has.
He's also a great seller. Like I feel like people don't really give him credit for that.
No, he is a great seller.
You know, like I'll agree. He ain't Hogan when it comes to selling. But like in that era, like him and The Rock, honestly, I feel like most of the main eventers, Seth for Foley was and Taker, pretty good, and Kane, pretty good, like sellers.
Well, Kane can't sell. I mean, he's supposed to be a monster.
I know, but I have to include it as somebody that doesn't sell, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, just a little insane. Like, for example, I see matches now. Like, Edge will sell the exhaustion.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things he talked about when he came back is he really wanted to bring in that psychology, the eyes.
But, see, I feel that most people... they only sell the exhaustion when they're like the final four or final three. But by halfway of the Rumble, you see like Steve look incredible, even against like a Bob Holly. I'm just giving a random example.
I know.
You know, and that really lends itself to really get behind Austin as the match goes on. You know, you can see, oh, he's been here from the start. And even though he kind of cheated to eliminate Brett, I'm more impressed by Austin's performance in the Rumble than Brett.
I love when he eliminates Brett and he just goes, he puts the arms up and he's just like, yeah. And then you got Brett where he's like grabbing. He's like one of the first people to like really grab Vince and like, you know, start like getting physical with Vince. He's like, what are you doing? Get it. Fix it. You know?
Yeah, man.
Did he do the stunner in the Rumble? I can't remember.
Yeah, he did it quite a few times.
Okay, he did do
but, the stunner. You know, no kick.
I know. We still haven't seen
it. He stunnered Brett in the Rumble. No kick.
Yeah, he does. He does, yeah. Yeah, he does. Now to think about it. It's interesting. When you look at that final four, you had, you know, this Austin's thrown out. So you had, what, Vader, Taker, Kane. Well, that's fake Diesel. What a stupid gimmick. And Brett, you know. You got Austin, Kane, and also Rock isn't too far back in that. So you got almost like the attitude era. Yeah,
the baby attitude era.
The guys weren't ready yet. No.
You know, but they would be in a year or
Let's
two.
Let's be honest, fake Diesel was never going to get over.
But like, I'm never like looking be at over. Some of these notes. Like you have Austin running away from Ahmed Johnson, who has a 2x4 chasing him down in the Rumble.
Well, that's when he started doing that. You're gonna get yours.
You're going down. You're going down. Fucking yeah,
something stupid.
I love Farouk's promos on him.
Like, oh, yeah. He was like really going after it.
But like,
you know, he probably was shooting me. Right? Like,
the crowd was dead for most of this Rumble, to be honest. Yeah. Like, they occasionally popped for something Austin would do or when Brett came out and Taker, but the crowd for a lot of it was really, really dead, you know? I don't like the spot in the match where Brett puts him in the sharpshooter and Austin is tapping out. I just don't like that.
Yeah, that's stupid. You know, I don't even know why you even put him in the sharpshooter.
Yeah, but especially considering they would have an I Quit match, a submission match, and Austin saying that he has no quit in him. And you literally
it just goes to show they don't know what they're doing. Because they
yeah, but that's an Austin thing, though. That's where I feel Austin and Brett should have taken. Because let's be honest, the best choices in regards to the WrestleMania 13 match was all Austin and Brett. Everything they decided was what made that match better. So I honestly feel they if I was Austin, I wouldn't have tapped. I'd scream for agony, do all that, but don't tap. Especially with that, you knew, at the very least, you knew you were going to go against Brett in the future. And it's better if you don't be seen tapping.
Probably in April.
I never like that those angles where they have the guy tap. Like, they do this all the time.
They do it. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't like it. For one, it makes a guy look weak. I only think you should do that if the guy's an established star, and but no, not the up and coming guy. Like, you do that to a Becky, you don't do that to a Bianca. It's a psychology. Yeah. You don't put somebody down who's never been up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else to say about the 97 Rumble?
I like the psychology of the match. I like the psychology that the second Brett came in, most of the time Austin was fighting Brett the entire time, psychology wise, feud wise, and progression towards Mania, it made sense. Yeah. I'd also say that nothing about this Rumble made you want to see Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. This Rumble made you want to see Bret Hart versus Austin.
Yeah.
And that's the disconnect. I don't like.
Well, we remember Brett was supposed to win this and they changed it because Vince Russo let it out that Brett was going to win. And Vince was pissed. So they changed it to Austin.
But I'll say this. After the match, you see Brett show more heel tendencies by grabbing referees, which you got to understand, Brett was so white meat. This is very uncharacteristic. You know, like grabbing the referees and shit. Like, that's not something Brad did.
Well, that's why I think he was going heel no matter what.
Well, yeah, that was clearly the direction.
He was either gonna go. He was gonna go heel in that Shawn match, I think.
Probably.
If it wasn't.
Probably.
It wouldn't have been a double turn, but
it wouldn't have been a double turn.
Yeah, but he would have turned heel in that match. All right. So when we come back, we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about February. So stay tuned. And the truth
shall
set
you free.